I don't sports. I'm sorry. I know this episode is just calling out for analogies about the big game and which team colors you select for your touchdown baseball goal hockey huzzah. And if you're a sports ball fanatic, I love this for you. But it's just not me. And I won't pretend to position myself that way because it would be inauthentic. But I do know how to position your brand well, and that's what we'll talk about today. Hi. I'm Amy Jackson, creative director, award-winning designer, color nerd, and unapologetic brand evangelist. And this is Brand Is Not a Four-Letter Word. I wanted to start diving a little bit deeper into arena versus positioning because a lot of people can get stuck there. I chatted about arena in episode 5 and we'll investigate positioning today, so it's definitely good to start with a solid understanding of both. Your arena, where people sort you into categories, answers, where do we compete? You may find both direct and indirect competition there, but it still can be a place where you stand out as much as you blend in. Think market, context, and audience. Your positioning answers, how do we show up in that arena? If your arena is the neighborhood your brand lives in, your positioning is what type of house you've built, a one-story ranch, a two-story Tudor, that sort of thing. Your arena is the ecosystem, and your position is the meaning you choose within it. Or your arena is external choice, and your positioning is internal alignment with strategy. And now feels like a really good moment to fast forward and share that from your positioning, you begin to build messaging and content. It's the source of that. And since content is the king of modern marketing, pretty important, right? In fact, 1,000 brands can play in the same arena and still claim different positioning. The next thing I want to make sure is super clear is that positioning is not a gimmick. It's not a pitch or offer you're making. It's simply the outward expression of your brand's authentic self. While vision casting is super important to brand positioning as it sets the course for where your brand is headed, it cannot be pie-in-the-sky dreams or even just what you good-naturedly hope to exhibit your brand's characters and values. You can't imbue your brand personality with something that it doesn't naturally have. That's where brands can go sideways fast, in envisioning something that they wish existed, but that outscopes or outright misaligns with the essence of who the brand is. We don't need to look any further than to one of, if not the, strongest brands in the world, Coca-Cola. Now, if you've heard me wax poetic about the value of Coke's brand and how well they've executed it over the years, it's true. But there was a misstep made in positioning back in 1985 when they introduced New Coke. Now, Coca-Cola was trying to compete with Pepsi, inarguably another brand in its arena, so it stepped boldly out with a new formula for its flagship product. But the problem was that Coke's legacy was built on a positioning of nostalgia and tradition. And this wasn't a new product line that perhaps could have offered a bit of an expansion on that. It instead completely wiped out the original recipe that customers had come to trust for more than a generation. In fact, some blind taste testing results came back showing that the new recipe was better rated, but since it did not align with the brand's positioning, the backlash was swift, as was the return of the original formula. But that one positioning blip resonates decades later. Just the other day, my own husband asked our dear friend if the, quote, new Coke flavor was available in the Coca-Cola Museum she'd recently visited. And when she confirmed it, they shared a very solemn murmur of disappointment at such a debacle. Now, I also mentioned Pepsi, and it had a similar positioning oops when it created Crystal Pepsi in the early 90s. Now, this wasn't a legacy takeover, but an expansion, so you might think they had a bit more leeway. But again, this new product didn't align with the brand's established positioning. It confused customers to be marketed a clear soda that was, quote, pure, but that tasted just like their regular, now assumed impure, Pepsi. The promise didn't match the experience, something we talked about in episode 4 as not good, and because it failed to align with those expectations, it also failed to align with the brand's positioning, and it too was swiftly removed from the brand's lineup. Both Coke and Pepsi had to learn more about their positioning because they tried something inauthentic to their character. These stories show that positioning must resonate with the brand's established character and the audience's expectations. Otherwise, any change can just feel jarring and inauthentic. And that's a big bullet point. Positioning without authenticity collapses under pressure, especially in our digital culture. Before you select your position, you have to understand your brand's essence, its natural strengths, character traits, values, and promise, which is why we started with those at the beginning of the season. But let's assume we're ready now. We've considered our brand's character and values. We've established an understanding of our internal and external experiences, and we're ensuring our 1,000 small gestures prove that up. We know where we live in an arena, and now it's time to settle on our positioning. It's time for vision casting. Ugh. Sounds a little bit like a crunchy retreat exercise, doesn't it? Well, it can be, and it often starts when you step away from the day-to-day to ask bigger picture questions like, what future do we want to have, and what framework can we successfully use to build it? What role does our brand want to play in people's lives? What emotional or functional value or values do we champion? What positive change do we want to consistently deliver for our audiences? To be clear, vision casting isn't predicting the future or dreaming up a utopian fairy tale. It's choosing the version of the future your brand can actually deliver. And that's why you'll never hear brand is not a four-letter word position itself as an accounting firm or a film studio. We're not those things. I'm not that leader. I know branding, and I believe in its power to build strong organizations. So all I have to do is look at the future through that lens and decide how I want to help make that happen for small businesses, nonprofits, or solopreneurs. Vision casting is great, but it's also important that we talk a bit about positioning in practice. Because the biggest, most important takeaway in this episode might be my next statement. There's truly no unique positioning. I know, a bummer. We just talked about how important it was to own your arena last time, and I've rattled on and on about the importance of strong positioning that aligns with your authentic brand character. You're ready to write your lingo alert, UPS, unique positioning statement, and here I am to burst your bubble. You can't be unique, but you must be uniquely authentic. What's a brand to do? While it's true, there's not one special, totally unique position you can uncover in your vision casting, hard reflections, research, or even your ill-advised seance, you still need to settle on your brand's best positioning to stand out in the market, to find your people, to build authentic, consistent experiences. Let's talk about some positioning examples. Coffee. Who doesn't love coffee, right? But there's a lot of ways you might position your new coffee company in its arena. There's ultra premium, or you might call it luxury positioning. If your coffee company is focused on hand-harvested, micro-lot, zero-emissions roasting from ethically unionized farmers, and your product is successfully sold at a premium rate because of this, say $30 a bag, well, this positioning could be for you. Does it mean that your aesthetic has to be sleek, dark, minimalist, brooding, dark colors, and rich imagery? No. When you consider how you'll connect with your audience and build your future, you'll want to make decisions that align with how your target audiences interpret luxury, because they want to feel they've earned that. Or there's functional performance positioning. Now, some of those very same attributes we just talked about in the luxury category might position your coffee company as a clean caffeine option for high-performance athletes. They're not looking to feel luxurious when they select your coffee. That premium exists, but it isn't their why. This positioning focuses on a different target market's needs. But it's just as viable if that's the vision you're casting for your company. Or maybe your positioning focuses on ethical and sustainable elements. This is still the same coffee product we considered for luxury positioning or the athletes, but instead it's focusing on the vibe, the feel that the audience gets from associating with a high-end fancy product. We're thinking more about how the audience's feel-good opportunity comes about, knowing that they've supported something that offers something like every cup sold donates 10% to reforestation. Same coffee, same company, wholly different positioning. Or what about backpacks? I noticed the other day that my husband had switched out his messenger bag for his old reliable Swiss Gear backpack, and it made me think of my fashion-forward, color-selected, easy-open zipper top model that is decidedly not anything gear. Most people choose a backpack for specific features, right? Well, maybe your backpack brand focuses on adventure positioning. Your arena is the same as any other backpack provider, but your target audience is hikers, athletic outside people. Or maybe your company revisits the luxury position mentioned in our coffee example. You only use the highest-end leather and focus on craftsmanship, so your positioning reflects that experience. Maybe your position is on tech, so you have a whole line of offerings, everything tech-savvy. The bag is smart, the accessories work seamlessly with it, and you position your company as the solution that the most techie of devs would dream of. Or you just build a basic backpack for people looking to consume a disposable item. Or you build something so aesthetically pleasing for your urban minimalist audience that it becomes your positioning. Just like the coffee, backpacks. One category, many positions. This is why the idea of a truly unique positioning isn't real, but a truly aligned positioning absolutely is. The goal can't be to find the one unique positioning that nobody else has. Your goal has to be clarity, authenticity, and consistency. Now's probably a good time to debunk another myth about positioning. It's not your tagline. Taglines express your positioning, often as a part of a brand or sales-specific campaign, but position is much more foundational than a tagline could ever sustain. In fact, as you grow, you may find you're ready to update, expand, or completely shift a tagline to better reach your audience. But positioning isn't something to pivot on from campaign to campaign or season over season. The fact is, you can actually reposition your entire brand overnight if you wanted to, but your audience won't follow that quickly. Their mental mode has a longer download time, and it's why your position has to support that authentic, actionable, and aspirational brand you've started building. Positioning drives your audience's recall. Remember how we talked about those arenas being filled with companies who do what you do or offer what you offer, and you want to be sorted into that category even as you find a way to stand out in that neighborhood? Well, audience recall helps you do just that. It's more proof of why positioning well really matters. According to Lucid Press's State of Brand Consistency Report, consistent presentation of a brand positioning increases revenue by up to 23%. McKinsey reports show that brands that use consistent messaging, which is derived from your positioning, as we stated earlier, across platforms see 3 to 4 times stronger recall. And as we talked about in the last episode, familiarity breeds presence far more than actual quality. Repeated, consistent, and authentic positioning experiences increases your audience's trust of your brand. When your positioning is clear and consistent, you become easier to remember, easier to trust, and easier to choose. When your brand shows up the same way every time across touch points, you train your audience to recognize you faster. But positioning isn't just what you want that audience to think of when they think of you. It's the promise you're willing and able to keep over and over, authentically, through 1,000 small gestures. It can't be an overclaim slash underdeliver catastrophe. Maybe not even on the most minute level, just that one tiny time. It can't be a misalignment. It has to be built from the core of your brand. And spoiler alert, this is why we build out brand guides to ensure positioning remains your North Star in all communication, visuals, aesthetics, sound, everything your audience experiences. Positioning helps your team avoid overthinking and creates decision filters, even speeds up onboarding and campaign development. So this is why we don't want to build positions based on trends or a competitor's weakness. They might be able to overcome that. A CEO's personal preference is also not a great choice. Let's say that again for those in the back. Whatever the most cost-effective option is right now might not be the best positioning either. Your positioning has to be believable and it has to be earned. I'll say it again, this isn't a moment for pie-in-the-sky purpose washing, and the biggest kicker of all, your market will tell you if you found and followed through with your best positioning. So here's this episode's brand hack. We're going to draft a one-sentence brand vision to begin building the foundation for your positioning. Here's how it'll go. Write down the words and then leave a nice blank space for what I say, and then I'll tell you what to put in that blank. We exist to help, big blank, describe your audience here. Achieve, another big blank, describe the desired outcome your audience experiences with you. By bringing, big blank, Here's where we list out one or several united core strengths or character traits. To the last big blank, name your arena here. We serve. Here's an example. We exist to help educators feel more supported and creative by bringing clarity and compassion to the tools they use every day. Of course, you may find that you want to go back to previous episodes if you can't really name your character traits or identify your arena, or you may want me to help with that, and that's great. This is an important step, and it shouldn't be completed in one sitting or in a silo. You may even have multiple statements before you settle, but each one should ladder back to who your business authentically is. Otherwise, your brand won't be authentic, actionable, and aspirational, and your brand should be all three. Because brand isn't a four-letter word. It's your best strategy and your strongest story. Let's build your brand together. Learn more at brandisnotaforletterword.com, where strategy and storytelling meet design.